Blessings to all in Jesus' name. This is Brother Ryan once again, and I'm glad to be accounted as a friend and brother, a companion of faith to all those that fear the Lord in the way of awe-filled, reverent respect, and who work righteousness, for that's accepted of the Almighty. And there's no greater honor necessary in this world than to be accounted as a brother or as one of the brethren, whether male or female, as faith has brought us all together, and that's a wonderful thing. It's the common eternal link between all generations of believers who have ever been, from the old covenant dispensation right up to the New Testament blood of Jesus that the Old Testament said was coming. There's no missing link here in Scripture. There's only an eternal link between man and his Creator. For Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31 said it was on the way, the new covenant that had been prepared for from the promise to bruise the serpent's head way back in Genesis 3:15. And indeed it was prepared for before the foundation of the world, for this is an eternal truth that has ever been, and God's eternalness is found in his word and his eternal words, which has been our subject of this week. And there's nothing greater than what's done eternally in Jesus' name. Eternal words, they're the best things you ever hear, and I'm blessed and honored to share them with you. But they certainly don't originate with me. I'm just glad to have been part of them and share these thoughts with others. As eternity, it has such life to it. It has such faith, such substance to it, as contained within Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that tells us something so incredibly true that the natural sciences didn't discover it until until the last century and a half or so. Everything that surrounds us, the very worlds that were framed, were made out of nothing. Made out of nothing. Nothing physical or material, that is. Now, there was a substance at work, all right, but that substance, it was invisible, eternal in its composition, and only the Bible knew that. No other ancient writings even came close. When you look at the creation mythologies of the ancient world, none of them had this type of idea that everything around us was created out of the mind of Almighty God, from nothing except his eternal wisdom. And that eternal stuff is pure living thought that always was, it is now, and always will be. That's what faith is. So the very eternal precept that made all things, that's living inside you when we walk by faith. Now that's an amazing thought. But it's the faith that created. It lives inside the believer. And you can't put it in a box. You can't stack it in a corner. You can't buy it. You can't see it, taste, or touch it. But it sure is there. And it can move mountains. Jesus said so. The chosen one, who was so amazed at a foreign Gentile centurion of the Roman occupying nation, who understood the authority of the spoken word and said, speak the word only. The master himself, he was in such amazement at such a saying, especially so coming from one who was not of the natural seed of Abraham, didn't have those advantages. And Jesus in his earthly pilgrimage, he wasn't sent to the Gentiles, but not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But of course, after the fulfillment of commitment of the promise given to Abraham following the resurrection, then Jesus would give out the great directive of the Great Commission, and the gospel would go to the nations of the earth, east, west, north, and south. For it was ever true that my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. Just took some patience for all things to be accomplished, whereby we praise his name. And it's all in God's timing and his will. It will be done. And as it is that God inhabits the praises of his people, that's in all ways of an actual truth. God is pure wisdom itself, having no material being. He does, in all reality, live within praises. He lives in the invisible. So when you praise, you pray, or you sing, you're giving God a place to live within your life in a very real and literal sense. God's right at home in the invisible. He's right at home in the non-material substance that expressed faith is. He lives there, always has. Paul knew this, having declared it on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. For he says, seeing that he is Lord in heaven of earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. But God sure does live, inhabiting the hearts of believers in the temple of their bodies. So faith, being the eternal substance, has a quality that puts it into motion, and that's love. As love is an eternal word, and let's turn to Luke chapter 7 and see how the powers of the expression of that Roman centurion play themselves out. In Luke chapter 7, from the first verse, it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, speaking of Christ the Lord, of course. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Now, one of the amazements of this account is that the centurion and Jesus never actually meet each other, not physically, not face to face. They never lay eyes on one another, but they sure did meet spiritually. They were living in the same land of faith, which it does not require any measure of distance to be observed in that land. And they're linked together forever in Scripture by love's strong cord. For look at what is present here. In two places within the scriptures of our reading, love was present, for the centurion had a servant who was dear unto him. Now that's love. That's an eternal word. And then verse 5, he loveth our nation and has built us the synagogue. Now that's faith. And love is present, and it caused the action that makes faith alive. For, of course, faith without works is dead, being alone. So faith caused a corresponding action in the request for healing, born of love, and then love had manifested itself in the building of a house of worship. And a miracle happened because of that, because of the quality of love. And of course, miracles, they're just the normal state of being to the Almighty. But that doesn't make them any less amazing to us. Look at the way Jesus was astounded by finding faith in an unlooked-for place. But love made it happen. Also the love and desire of the Master, of Jesus himself, to come and bring deliverance to one in need. For plainly Jesus was disposed to go, for he was not far from the house, in verse 6. And had that been the way of it, we'd still have a great story of healing if Jesus had indeed come under that centurion's roof. It still would have been worthy of putting into our scriptures as one of the things that Jesus said and did. That John the Apostle said, I suppose the world itself couldn't contain all the books that should be written. But this proved to be the time and place to reach another level, a higher plane, a higher point of praise that it was so eternal that it stands out mightily here in Luke chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8 as well. And it becomes witness to us in an even greater way of the glory of God. So thank the Lord for those things. In 1 John chapter 4, I'd like to read a in 1 John chapter 4, as we thank the Lord that God is love, and I referred to this in part 1, but I want to read it directly here. 1 John chapter 4, and from verse 7 and 8, we read these words, which are, come to it here. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now, there's the eternal point. But let's concentrate on it once more. God is love. Now, in a short, simple statement written by the apostle who would become revelator upon the Isle of Patmos, we've broken into eternity, as I borrow a phrase that Brother Branham used to use. John has broken into eternity, for he understands that God is love and that God exists. And the whole universe and the trillions of universes that surround us are testament to that. And we as living beings, we're testament to that also. Our creation is. 8 billion souls on the earth. And that fact tells you that God is. And of course, a lot of those souls aren't living up to their witness. Nonetheless, God gave them life. And it proves that God exists because we are here. And the gift of life had to come somewhere, from somewhere. And that somewhere is from the heavenly source and from God alone. And once again, since God is love, then love has to be eternal also. Has to be. And you know something? That's the essential argument in the book of Job, that love doesn't really exist. For that's the accusation brought against Job, that he really didn't love God. As the accuser said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? You've blessed all his house. You've put a hedge around him. Take that away, he'll curse you to your face. And then later, take away his health and he'll curse you to your face." Now, Job in his agony did curse the day he was born, but never did he set aside his love of God and curse him. And he'll get restored because of that fact. He'll pass the test. Job proved that love exists because in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, he says, "Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him." He didn't understand everything that was going on around him, but still he had love of the Lord and put his trust in the Almighty God. And that proves that love, it does exist, and it does not depend on benefits received alone or even hell. And Job proved that out. And the argument is very subtle, because deception always is subtle. For if love does not exist eternally, then you're pretty much saying God's not eternal. And that was the argument in the book of Job. But as John tells us, God is love. But Job passed the test, and thus we have such a great example for us to learn from within Scripture. And one other observation of note concerning how vital to the precept of eternity love is. Of course, the Bible, and 1 John in particular, was not written in chapter and verse. Those things were added later, and of course it's good that we have the Bible in chapter and verse, because it makes it so much easier to find and read certain references quickly. But the Bible, its Gospels and its epistles, it was written to be a continuous narrative as the words and sentences flow into one another, which is exactly, of course, what they're designed to do. So from 1 John, here where we read from chapter 4, but at chapter 3 in the first verse, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And then verse 2 starts with "beloved." That starts a pattern here within the book of 1 John, the epistle letter, from chapter 3 and verse 1. So behold what manner of love, and love or compassion, which is love, is mentioned 12 times by my count in chapter 3. In the words beloved, love, loveth, loved, or compassion, which is spoken once, which is love. In chapter 4, where we just quoted that God is love, the word love appears 28 times. 28 times in its various forms. And on into chapter 5, the first 3 verses, love appears 4 times. So in the context of the whole train of spiritual thought, from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, through the first 3 verses of chapter 5, and including all of chapter 4, John refers to the eternal quality of God's nature in love a total of 44 times within that short space, as well as some other portions of the epistle letter. By my count, 49 all times altogether. So I ask you, did John the Apostle Revelator, who walked with the Master upon the dusty roads of Judea and Samaria, think love was vital to the truth that he witnessed of? I think there's only one answer to that. Even as there is only one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and one truth, and one God who's Lord of all. Praise his name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.